question from this Mishnah uses the language of Basula Nises, which is a passive. The Bali Tosas asked the question, it should have said, why doesn't it say Nosin is a Basula? Again, this is just a recap. And then different answers are given. In some versions of Bali Tosas, this remains a completely innocuous discussion. One of the days of Tosas here is seems to be suggesting something potentially novel, and that is that we might have thought that Nisuin would be Bal Korcha de Isha. Again, if you look at the Rashi Mishnas, so the impression is that that would be so, just like there was a similar idea in beginning of Masachet Kiddushin regarding Kiddushin, but no more, just as also no less. On the other hand, the Shita Kubetzos and the Marshal both basically understood that what Moses was saying was that even if we were to know the Maskana on Dav Beis Amid Beis in Kiddushin, that Kiddushin Bal Korcha doesn't work, then we still might think, legitimately, obviously, that the Nisuin could be Bal Korcha. So that, of course, is intriguing, but the question becomes twofold. Number one, how to assess this seemingly intriguing Havamina, and number two, whether or not any aspect of it echoes Lamaskan. And that's really kind of what we were discussing. So regarding the possible interpretation of the Havamina, what we saw so far was, number one, it may even depend on, I think Bitzal correctly pointed out, might depend on the formulation. There's a slight difference between the Marshal and the Shinu Kanetzes. Basically, what are we really trying to say? And what this highlights, basically, these two perspectives, which I'll just explain in just a second, or the third, which is the one that we're really interested in, they really highlight three approaches in terms of the relationship between Kiddushin and Nisuin, and that's what we're interested in pursuing. One is that basically Nisuin, like Kiddushin, is a kinyan. In that sense, at least phenomenologically, in terms of what type of thing this is, they're very parallel. In that sense, we could go a step further according to this first perspective and say not only are they parallel because they're both kinyanim, maybe they're even both independent kinyanim. In other words, Kiddushin does certain things in Ishus, Nisuin does certain other things in Ishus. They work independently, and there's this kinyan and that kinyan. You need two of these kinyanim to complete the Ishus. If that is true, you still might say that there are differences between them, but those differences will have to be explained in a slightly different or structural way. Meaning, you still might say that while this is a kinyan and that is a kinyan and they accomplish independent things, the fact that Nisuin is generally speaking after Kiddushin will have some impact, especially if we take the view regarding our issue, that the Havamina, that you could compel a woman regarding the Suin, even though you can't regarding Kiddushin, has to do with what I called the Tziruv problem. In other words, you can't just walk up to somebody in the street who you have no relationship with and impose your will on them because there's no framework for that sort of thing. You have to have a relationship with someone, a formal relationship or maybe a pragmatic relationship, one or the other. But you need a relationship. Then you can talk about whether the dominance within a relationship is also legally significant. Now again, that could be true, even if we say Kiddushin is a kinyan and Nisuin is a equally structured kind of a kinyan. The fact is that since Lamaisa, the Nisuin comes on the heels of the already existing relationship, so it's not Isha min Ashuk. There's a framework to talk about, but that has nothing to do with the quality of the second part. Or there might be other reasons to justify discrepancies between the types of things that Kiddushin and the Suin are required of them, and that might have to do with the percentage of what each one accomplishes, or the content of what each one accomplishes, or the order assuming that the order, you know, is ma'akev. So what I'm trying to say is that even if you say that, you know, kiddushin is a kinyan and nisuin is a kinyan and they're independent of each other, you would still, for example, you know, want to wonder, you know, whether or not you can switch the order. There's much more reason to think you could switch the order if you take that formulation, right? But it doesn't necessarily mean that that is the case. And there still could be discrepancies based not only in the framework idea, in a case where kiddushin came first, but also based on the tochen, what it is that each kinyan is accomplishing. I might have theoretically said, you know what, these are both kinyanim, but maybe, you know, the kinyanim that, you know, are directly related to Eishes Ish, you know, those are not subject to Baal Korcha. And the kinyanim that are subject to, that are stimulated by the Nisuin, they are. I'm just trying to explain in broader strokes how this might work. The second possibility is that we're talking about, again, Nisuin, which is also a kinyan, but by definition, it's a completion-oriented kinyan, meaning it's a gemar kinyan. In that sense, what we're saying is that Kiddushin and Nisuin are not independent, two independent kinyanim, and then, you know, raising the questions that we just discussed, but they are an integrated whole. But, you know, the first half of the kinyan, the second half of the kinyan. But by definition, not just because the order is ma'akev, but because it's viewed in an integrated fashion. It's not viewed as two independent kinyanim, even with a certain order, it's viewed as one total kinyan with a beginning and an end. And by definition, then the end might be treated differently than the beginning. Okay, in the point to this perspective, in a way, the relationship is stronger and the parallels are greater in one respect, because it's all part of the same thing, and it's viewed as a natural part of the same thing. At the same time, by virtue of the fact that it isn't an independent kinyan, but it is a completion of the kinyan, that, you know, will justify some of the differences. Okay. If you take this view, so it's getting it back to this Havamina, right, we no longer have to take the Tziruf perspective in order to explain it, or some of the others. What we might simply say is that it's misleading when we think about we consider the possibility of Nisuin Baal Korcha. It's misleading because really Nisuin isn't Baal Korcha, just that it's the continuation of Kiddushin, which is Midas, and therefore the Midas that's there already, right, is extends to the Nisuin. Now, still some Kiddush in that you can't, you know, in midpoint, or more than midpoint, or less than midpoint, you know, remove the Das, but that, you know, might be an explanation, and that is the lashon actually of the of Shittim Kubetzes. The third possibility, again, let me just say one more thing regarding this way: the likelihood of changing the Seder becomes much less, right? Because by definition, the integrated gemar hakinyan of the first part, and even though it's more, as I say, part of the kiddushin in a way. It's more likely, ironically, that its features will also be more different than the kiddushin, because we're not talking about, you know, two independent transactions here. We're talking about the completion of the first transaction. Okay. The third possibility, which is the one that we're most intrigued by, is that nisuin isn't really meant to be a kinyan at all, at least not in the conventional sense of the word. And that is that it's more of a matir. It's more about Chayi Ha'ishus. It's qualitatively totally different. Not just because there is a background or because it is a completion of a kinyan, but because it's not a kinyan at all. In that sense, ironically, it may be more independent than the second point of view, because the matir of chuppah, right, is separate from the oser, as we'll see, of the kinyan of kiddushin. So in that sense, the gap is actually, in terms of independence, is greater. On the other hand, it's not kinyani, if you will, at all. It's really just about the matir of Chayi Ha'ishus, and the question is what that means. So, basically, when we're talking about the Havamina of this Tosis, that there could have been a Nisuin Baal Korcha, even without there being Kiddushin Baal Korcha, what emerges as different ways to explain even that Havamina, which are, with important differences. To highlight this just a little bit further before we go back to analyzing the role of Das in Kiddushin and then by extension Nisuin, So let me mention one other thing that a number of people brought up, and which I think just, again, is a good way to frame this. And that is the language of the Torah of Kicha. Right? So I think Tovia brought it to my attention, and I think Jonah brought it to my attention. A few people mentioned to me, don't we find here and there that the Torah uses the expression, right, of Kicha? Right? Where does the Torah use the expression of Kicha? Where? Exactly. So that's one, right? To there, the lola kacha is a kicha language. So there, I thought, you know, you might say likacha might be different than kiikach, but maybe yes, maybe not. But what about also imacheres, right? Ikachlo, which we talked about, right? That's a context of ama ivriya, right? And yiud, right? So imacheres ikachlo. Now the imacheres ikachlo. So we know that Sher, Ksus, and Ona are connected to Nisuin. And Minchas Chinuch discusses that question, right? Why should it be, since it says Imacheres Yikach Lo, right? So how do we even know that? We discussed that already. We talked about Sher, Ksus, Viona. But it's an important question. I think somebody brought to my attention what Rav Shamsher Paul Hirsch. Do you want to tell me that?
He says on Isha.
And imacheres yikachlo, right?
No, on the other one.
Okay,
that it's called kicha, modeled after the kicha later on, the kicha of kikach is yishav v'alah.
Modeled after, or because it's the completion of?
He says because completion of.
Yeah. So that's a great example of what we're talking about. Now, you have an interesting problem. Right? Here, in a way, it's the opposite problem of the Bal Korchach problem. Right? The Bal Korchach problem is the discrepancy. You know, if you already know the Kiddushin is not going to be effective, Bal Korchach, so why would anybody think that Nisuin would? And we're trying to explain, you know, according to various models. The problem of Kicha is the opposite problem. Torah uses the expression for Kiddushin, Kiikach Ish Isha, Kicha Kicha Misteach. Clearly, Kicha refers to Averson. Also, this is the important part, Kicha is definitely, and that's confirmed by Kicha, Kicha Misteafron, has a connotation of Kenyan. So the point is, now how does that fit in with Nisuin? So does the Torah use that? Again, below Lekacha, maybe not as much, but certainly the language of Yikach does. So Imacheres Yikachlo, as we said, and there indeed it's discussed by the Achronim. So how do you explain this? There might be a third one also, and that is based on the sugya, which we'll discuss a little bit more later on, but hopefully today. Yevamos Nunhei Amud Beis. What's in Yevamos Nunhei Amud Beis? Right? Anybody?
Hara.
Excellent. Hara. What's the Gemara bothered by? What's the Gemara interested in? The Gemara wants to know. I mean, the sugya is, the beginning of the Mishnah, the beginning of Aval Yevimto, right? It's talking about what works for Yibum, mm-hmm. Right? Aval Yevimto, Shogeg, Mezid, Ones, Ratzon, right? Echad Ma'are, Echad Gomer, and so on and so forth. That's what are the criteria? What are the what kind of quality Ma'isavia works for Yibum? Okay, good. We're not learning Yibum right now, but then the Gemara Nunhei Amud Aleph. The Gemara discusses each one. Hara, the Chayvei Lavin, How do you know that Hara is considered to be a Maisabiya in various tchumim in Halacha, in Arayos, and so on and so forth? Maybe different levels of Arayos. Very fascinating that the Gemara thought that maybe we would distinguish between different types of Arayos. Essen, Lavin, Chayvei Misos. Interesting, right? But not for now. What is for now, though, is one of the things the Gemara says is, an Isha Labala Minolon. Right? And the Gemara's answer is Asya, Kicha, Kicha. Okay. So I was away for 1 week so that I expect to learn like all of Shas, and you should learn Yevamos. Did I say to you which Gemara? Or was it in the Mar Makomos? In a way. You knew it because you know all of Shas. Ravi?
Yeah.
Tosis? Yeah, Tosin Kedushin actually, the Avuna Ben Aleph brings it up. So the part of the short part of the story is when the Gemara here says,
what?
It's also on the first. The Gemara is actually placed in the first.
Exactly. I knew that. I knew that. So the I'm not an unfair person, right? Maybe unfeeling, but not unfair. So Nun Hei Amud Beis is a very important Gemara. The question is, what is it referring to, right? The Gemara says Isha Labala Minola. That itself is interesting. And then the Gemara says Kicha Lekicha, Kicha Kicha. But there could be two possibilities of Isha Labala. Could be Erisin, could be Nesuin. If it's Erisin, that's the old Kicha Kicha, right? That's fine. Even then, Bali Tosis and the other Rishonim have a difficulty because they say there, that part I didn't put on the Marcoma specifically, but you know the Yuvamis people will know this. They say, listen, Kicha Kicha Isha, right? Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephron is about Kinyan Kesef. It's not about Kinyan Bia. Right? That's an interesting question. That's what Tosis asks in Yuvamis, and then they go on to explain and so on. Learn it out from Uva Allah, not from Kicha Kicha. That might be actually quite important for us too, as we'll see in a second. But in addition to that, how do we know? Are we talking about Eris or are we talking about Nesuin? Ravi, what are we talking about? The answer is it's connected to how you understand the Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Yudam Adal, right? Which we'll get back to in a couple of minutes. But the Gemara in Kiddushin Yudam Adal, in a nutshell, says what? That Hara'a seems to say that Hara'a or Tchilas Bia, right? The Gemara wants to say Tchilas Bia Kona or Sof Bia Kona, right? The Gemara concludes that Tchilas Bia is not Kona. Why? Because Daito Al Gemar Bia. So the simple reading of the Gemara in Daf Yudam Aleph is that Tchilas Bia doesn't work in Erusin and Kedusha. That's what we're talking about there. So ask all the Rishonim, Bali Tosis, beginning from the Bali Tosis, but actually, I shouldn't say beginning, but it's not true. Earlier Rishonim, the Gonim already asked the question, what do you mean that Tchila, Ein Daito Shel Adam El Al Gemar, or Baal El Al Gemar Bia? It's just not true, because there's a Gemara in Yevamos, Nun Hei Amud Beis, which says Isha Labala Minolan. It's talking about Hara. What is Hara? Pashtus Tchilas Bia, right? And there's a machlokus on the Gemara exactly what it is. It's not for now, but then the point is that it seems to work. So there's a steer between two Gemaras. So the Rishonim, we're not learning Kiddushe Bia right now, but we're just interested in extracting the part that's important to us. The Rishonim say different things. A lot of the action in the Rishonim is to try to explain, you know, when really, really, really we're talking about Erisin, right? But even though we're talking about Erisin, there can be different circumstances. Let's say he has Kavana for Tchilas Bia. Let's say he only does Tchilas Bia. Those stuff are very fascinating answers. In our Yevamos days, which weren't so long ago, and we discussed all the details of these various Rishonim and their answers, because it's very important. However, the view of some of the Gonim, Rav Nissim Gon, is what? The Gemara in Yevamos is speaking about Nesuin and not Kiddushin. And therefore, Nesuin is through Hara, even though Kiddushin ain't Daito Al Gemar. We'll get to the implication of that, you know, in a couple of minutes. But for now, that's the fact. Then, if you hold that Shita, which is Rav Nissim Gon, who else holds that Shita, by the way? Yaakov? Who else holds that Shita? Just Rav Nissim Gon? Gabe? The Riff.
And seemingly
Rambam. Rambam, right? Why seemingly? When I said seemingly the Shiltos, you were upset, so. Okay. Okay, but, and you were right. But the Riff and the Rambam and some of the Gaonim, they hold this way. So then Tosis asks, you have a line there in Kedushin?
Basically, the Pasuk says,
basically, Tosis says, I don't understand. Kiikach Ishisha is talking about Kedushin, it's not talking about Nisuin. So it's exactly the same problem, right, that we encounter in the other two Makoros, right? Kicha, a language of Kinyan, a language associated with Erisin, is it possible that it can be used with regard to Nisim? So obviously, the more you think that Nisuin is either a Hemsheikh drawing from or completing. It's a kinyan, but it's a completion. You know, it's a kinyan, but a stage two of the kinyan that already began, right? Or if you think that it's an independent kinyan, you know, it does its part, whatever that is, whatever its percentage is, whatever the order it needs to be in, whatever the contents, you know, that it's specific to is. Doesn't matter, again, the different formulations. So at least, you know, the use of, and again, those are two very different explanations. The use of the phrase ki'ikach is understandable. The more you think that, you know, nisuin is fundamentally different, and it's not really a kinyan, it's more of a matir, and it's something totally different, the more problematic this is. Now, ironically, as we'll soon see, you know, basically the problem is a problem particularly for Rav Nissan Gaon and for the Rambam and for the Rif, who really hold that, who really seem to be saying that, that it's quite different, that it's fundamentally different, right? Because they're basically saying, you know, for Kiddushin you need Gmar Bia, for Nisuin you can get away with less. So we still need to understand, if that's the case, it sounds like, you know, something significant, you know, is distinguishing between Kiddushin and Nisuin, and if that's the case, then, you know, how can the language of Kicha work? So this obviously goes to, you know, you need to understand, you know, how different the two are. Taitel Shalad Malkam Arbiya, if that's a technicality or something more, maybe that is, has to do again with the Tziruf and so on. But if it's more than that, as we'll explain when we get to Reb Chaim in a couple of minutes, then there's a certain irony in all of this. So the use of kicha when we're applying kara'a davka to nisuin and not to kiddushin, how's that going to really work? So remind me when we get there. I'll explain what I think may be the point. But that's a bit of a problem. Anyways, these are this is just a way to highlight. This is our issue. What is the relationship between nisuin and kiddushin? The various perspectives, both in the Havamina regarding Malkarcha and also with regard to the use of the language of Kicha and everything that it applies. What I want to do now, okay, when before I left, we also looked at the question, are there any echoes of this Lamaskar? Right? And we saw that there were, in two different ways. Three different echoes, but two different ways. One is, even though we don't seem to paskin that Nisun is Balkarcha, and we were discussing that, is it possible that the Rishonim who don't give the answer that Tosis gives, don't give it not because they didn't think there was such a Havamina, but because they think that the Maskana is not correct? That would be amazing, but we're not, the argument from silence here is hard to, you know, to get too excited about. Again, we know that when there's a Ketana, that the father's Ma'ake, that for sure we know, but again, maybe that's Dafka, you know, in the Sue Ketana, and maybe in the Sue Ketana is a different status, as we talked about. Okay. So we're not 100% sure about that part. But we did point out that the Rambam's formulation is very strong regarding Kiddushin, right? It's a double formulation, right? Einisha, you know, miskadeshes elam bidaita, v'amikadeshes isha v'alkarcha enam mikudeshes. We don't have anything parallel to that in Perikim. Okay, that's very important. We also noted that there are two other very strong echoes, not in the case of Balkarcha, but in the case of Ketan, right? It was the debate between Rabbeinu Ephraim and Rabbeinu Tam, what happens when the father was alive at the Erisin, but he dies by the Nisuin, can you then get married in the absence of the father? Right? Rabbeinu Ephraim basically said, well, you can't, because Chuppah is B'makom Kinyan, and the father isn't there, and you need his positive input, and you don't have it. So, what will be the other Shita? Right? And the second point, we'll get back to that, and the second one was just the Lashonos of the Rambam, that when it comes to Ketanish and Iskacha Shalol Das Aviyah V'achakach Nisratza Ha'av, there, the Rambam makes it clear that, you know, that's too little, too late. But when it comes to Ish Ketanish and Nises Shalol Das Aviyah, right, V'achakach Nisratza Ha'av, there it does work. It's only if we're not sure whether he was ever Nisratza that we have a problem. So in both, again, why? Once again, we have, in the case of, you know, Ratzon Ha'av, in the context of Tana, right, we have a chiluk between Kiddushin and Nisuin. Now again, is that because Nisuin is not a Kenyan at all, it's a Matir, and so on and so forth? or because the ratzon that the father gave in the erusin continues and is sufficient for the nisuin, right, that still remains, you know, an open question. But it's an exact echo. Both of these are echoes of Tosus's Havami. Okay. So in order to just understand that a little better, what I wanted to do is go back and take a couple of minutes just to analyze what that Gemara in Kedushin Havamina was. What was the Havamina by Kedushin? What is the level of Das required by Kedushin, so that we can understand or be in a better position to analyze whether or not a discrepancy to Nisuin really matters much or not. So let's talk about that for just a couple of minutes. What level of Das do you require in Kedushin? And here, of course, the question can be formulated, you know, vis-a-vis, let's say, other Kenyanim. It's default clear that kinyan between two people is fundamentally, all things being equal, consensual, as we said. And that's for two different reasons, mostly. One is, again, there's no framework for one person to dominate and to impose his will, because we're talking about ownership and things of that sort. If it's my field, somebody can come over to me about my field and impose, force me to, you know, vis-a-vis the field, he has no relationship to me. Right? That's number one. But number two is also, there's an understanding that a kinyan requires das. How much das? Different question. But that part of the notion of kinyan is that it's, you know, based on assent. And it might even be more than that, right? There are views, a couple of years ago in the end of the Bav Metzia Shiurim, the first half of Schneibolz and Shurin, you know, we discussed this. There are views that, you know, Baisa Kinyan is mostly an expression of Das. And certainly, there are certain types of Kinyanim that are certainly an expression of a larger, you know, or a higher level of commitment than Das. Particularly, you know, something like Kinyan Sudar, right, which we've talked about in the past, right? That's why Kinyan Sudar has certain special requirements. It can produce a shtar, maybe, you know, without extra tzivui, and at the same time, it requires maybe a gadol, even a midrabanan. According to some views in the Rishonim, it might even require a kiyum. In other words, there is a requirement of das regularly in kinyanim. Das may be what kinyanim are kind of formalizing, and certainly there are certain kinyanim that, by definition, are almost pure das oriented. So, if kiddushin is a kinyan, right, Aisha niknes, so one would expect that there would be a requirement of kinyan. But since there are different levels of das, even in, you know, even possibly among the different kinyanim dinei mamonis, Sudar being an example. So it's interesting to raise the question that even when we're dealing with, you know, when we're talking about different kind of kinyan, a kinyan isha, a kinyan eved, as opposed to a kinyan of a cheftza, right, when we're talking about kinyanim of a gabra, then what is the, you know, relative requirement of das? You require more, you require less, you require the same amount. What's going to be the halacha? So in a way, this is really reflected by some of the Rishonim on that basic condition itself. Right? The Gemara has this Habamina Balkarcha. I already mentioned that the Meiri kind of quotes that there are some Girsos that didn't have a Hoshana Katari. Again, he formulates it in a very more pragmatic way because, you know, Imkein Lomatsinu Yadenu Veragleinu, people are just going to, you know, accost, you know, anyone that they want and force them to be their wives. Obviously, that's a recipe for disaster in any kind of society, right? But I would have preferred that he had said, not only is it, you know, and again, the assumption is, so you say, oh, so what? That's a social problem. That's not a halachic problem. The assumption of the Meiri is that, you know, kind of, Zeruachecha Darchei Noam kind of a thing, like Lo Yitachein, that the Torah would allow, that the halacha, you know, would endorse this kind of behavior, right? Forget about the need for, you know, Takana Derabanan, Doraisa, it's just inconceivable. Okay, that itself is fascinating. Okay. I would have preferred that he also had added or said independently, you know, my tirov point, which is, if two people have no relationship, then of course nobody can impose their will on someone else. Okay. On the other hand, we, in our texts, do have the Havamina. The Meiri acknowledged that there were other Gersos that had the Havamina. So we need to understand what was going on there. And the person who crystallizes it, I would say, the best among the Rishonim there, Yosef, is? Could be you move past it, but... Which Rishon kind of just says, like, how can there be such a Havamina? But not just because of the social problem. Social slash religious problem. But Avi? The Rajba, perfect. Right? The Rajba basically says, what? How could this be less than any other kinyan? Right? You buy anything, you know, buy a field, you buy an animal, or you buy an object, you know, you can't just take it away from the owner Bal Karcha. So you can force the woman to you know, to be Niknes. She's the Das Makne. You can impose upon the Makne against her will. That's the Rajba's question. So what did the Rajba answer to that question, Avi? Yeah. So the Rajba basically, what is that sugya? Right, as they say in more colloquial language. What's that? Talui v'zavin zvini zvini, correct. You know, making you know, an offer that the person can't refuse, right? You hold a gun to their head, taluya, right? This of, and you say, sell me your object or else, right? And the guy says, okay, you know. So what does the Gemara say about that? Agav onsei gamar umakni. It's a fascinating thing. I mean, instead of saying, the Gemara there doesn't say that a Kenyan works bal karka, or, you know, even if it's Bikuach Nefesh, what they say is he made him an offer that he couldn't refuse, and the guy agreed. Okay, now again, it's not our sugya right now. Does he have to say Rotsani? He doesn't have to say Rotsani. Maybe he has to say Rotsani here, not there. That's a big discussion in particular in the Rambam and the Ravid, because the Rambam and the Ravid sometimes mention Rotsani, Hushyama Rotsani, and sometimes they don't. So there's a whole discussion. Whether or not, what about Gittin, what about Karbonos, what about Kiddushin, what about Mekachomemkar, right, and so on and so forth. Right, the Rambam mentions Rotsani in Gittin and in Karbonos. The Ravid mentions Rotsani also in Kiddushin. Right, this is a discussion, you know, also regarding Losachmod, which we discussed when we learned about Metzia. Right, the Ravid also says, well it's going to work, Lushiyama Rotsani, okay. But it's Agamonse Gomarma. That's a sugya. So at the end of the day, is that Bal Karcha? It's not Bal Karcha. It's not. It looks like it, but it isn't. That's why I'm saying it's there's a lot of hashkafa on every halacha, right? In other words, in the end of the day, the guy, you know, there is some duress here, you can't deny that. But at the end of the day, he's agreeing, you know, yeah, he's weighing his options and he's deciding that it's worthwhile for him to sell. That's different than paying lip service and saying it and not meaning it. We really believe psychologically that given his options, he agrees to it. Right? If he's omeid, beseruvo, right, then that's a different story. If he wants to put out a modah, there's something called modah in halacha, right, he can, you know, tell people, he can set up a modah, then it's not going to be considered das l'kinyan. Anyways, however, you could certainly understand, we'll see in a second, that, you know, if I require a higher level of commitment, you know, to accomplish Kenyan number one than Kenyan number two, you know, it's possible that we would draw the line, right, you know, when it comes to Talmud Yivazavit. You agree, Avi? Or not really? It's true that Agav Onsi Gomer Amakni, but because that remains a Chiddush, it doesn't mean without Das it works, because that's not true. Right, that's why you might have to say Rotsani, certainly a Modo will help, etc., right? So what I'm saying is it conceivable that there are kinyanim in which Agav Onsi Gomer Makni will not be enough? Just like it's conceivable that sometimes Agav Onsi Gomer Makni needs Rotsani and sometimes it doesn't, so too, it's conceivable that sometimes Agav Onsi Gomer Makni will not work at all, right? And indeed, do we know such a thing? Oh, excellent. So there's a machlokas between, just to get all the background out there, and then we can analyze it better. Right, there's a machlokas between who and who? The Rambam and Bal Itur regarding Taluya Vikani, whether Kinyano Kinyan. Right? And as you put a gun to the guy's head and don't say, you know, I'm buying your object. You know, I'd like to buy your object. You know, please sell it to me. The guy says no. And then you say, well, I really, you know, want to encourage you very strongly to sell you this object. Then, okay, I'll let it go. Agavon Sigamar Mak. That's one case. The other case is the guy puts a gun to the other fellow's head and he says, buy my field. Right? Buy my object. Not sell me your object. So Taluya Vikani Kinyano Kinyan or Ain Kinyano Kinyan. Again, just an interesting, a fascinating thing in its own right. So the Bala Itur says that, you know, it says in the Gemara Taluya Vizavin Zvini Zvini. It doesn't say Taluya Vikani Kinyano Kinyan. And the Rambam clearly disagrees. How do we know the Rambam disagrees? Where did the Rambam disagree? Where? In Hilchos Mechira? In Hilchos Ishas. Right? That's the original, you know, the original shotgun marriage. Right? Everybody's heard of shotgun marriages, right? No? Mm-hmm. You know, the future father-in-law, you know, accosts, you know, some young man in the street, you know, or whatever. So, anyways. That's the Rambam says in Perek Dalet, Hilchos Ishas, that that works, just that it's not very nice, right? And when you do it to the woman, it's also not very nice. That's the whole discussion of the Gemara, Meimar, Avashi, right? Who has a Shalok Hogan? This we'll get to when we get to Dav Gimel Amud Aleph, and we talk about the din of Afkin Rabban Le Kiddushin Minei. One of the Afkin Rabban Le Kiddushin Mineis is the who has a Shalok Hogan when he forces her, meaning the Nasalo Shalok Hogan. Right, Afkin Rabban the Kiddushin Minei. Call the Mekadesh Shadata the Rabban Mekadesh. We get to it. Anyways, point I'm trying to make is this machlokes between the Bala Itur and the Rambam. That in itself, again, we're not studying Kinyanim right now, but just very, very, very quickly for the sake of background, what do you think about that machlokes? What do you think about that machlokes? Gabe, what do you think about that machlokes between the Rambam and the Itur? Anything you want to say about that? You think it's a Girsa question?
I think that there's a special thing behind that, because they have pure
that question. I don't think the Bala Itur, as far as I know, doesn't say that he had a different Girsa. I think it's a diuk. He's just saying he doesn't talk about that. So let's drop the, unless there are Girsa, that would be interesting to know, but let's get to the conceptual part. Meaning, if I just said to you, Taliv Zavin Zvini Zvini, what do you think about Taliv Bukhani Kinyanu Kinyan? I mean, what's the issue here? By the way, what does the Rajba say about the Itur? Avi? Rashua?
He likes the Rambam.
Why? He just says, I like the Rambam, or?
He says it's a kosher.
Ah, that's important, right? So, pumpaker, as they say. Right? In the Mavavash. Pumpaker. Anyways, or Ipcha Mistabra. So what's going on? Yosef?
Could be a question of whether like there's someone who does like the essential Kenyan.
Who's doing the essential Kenyan? Excellent. In other words, if I were to ask you who is the dominant figure, right, in a Kenyan, is it the Kona or the Machna? That's a hard question to answer. In the end of the day, the answer might be it's a Machlokas, or the answer might be it depends on which Kenyan or which type of Kenyan. Right? In a way, the Bala Itur and the Rajba are taking opposite stands on that question. Maybe the Rambam holds that it's a kosher game, maybe the Rambam just holds that it's equal, right? Or maybe the Rambam holds it notwithstanding that there are differences, the differences aren't great enough to justify a distinction in this particular halacha, right? But if on what, think of it this way, the Kona is the initiator, right, of a transaction. And from a certain point of view, that requires a greater level of das, right? because he's the one who was taking the initiative. The Machne just has to let it go. He has to relinquish his object, and he's responding. On the other hand, right, all things being equal, the person who takes the initiative to acquire an object is the person who has an interest in that object. Right? In a way, the person who's sacrificing more, the person who requires a greater commitment from the perspective of who's getting and who's, you know, giving up, right, is the relinquisher. It's easier to relinquish, is what I'm saying, because you can be more passive. It's a more passive stance, but it's also, in one respect, a greater commitment, because you're giving up your trusted, and you know the this, you know, field that you've had, that's been your family's generation for, you know, hundreds of years, or this cow Bessie, who, you know, comes from a long line of Bessies, right? So if you ask a question, I mean, this is a big question in general. It's not, you know, kata, right? The big question about you know, whether or not a katan who is makne, or katan who's kone, which is easier to justify, both on a daraisa level and a drabana level, right? When you have das acheres makne, right? So maybe a katan can be kone according to some rishonim daraisa. What do those same rishonim think about, you know, the katan being makne? Right? Again, it's not for now, but all I'm saying is, both as an objective question, right, and in fact there are tangible examples of it, it's hard to figure out whether the kone and the makne are equally, the whole concept itself of das acheres makne. Like, one way to look at das acheres makne is to say that the makne is doing most of the kinyan, because he's the one who is making the he's giving up his object. So it's fine for a katan to be kone, because the makne is really, really doing everything. The other way to look at it is, that's not true at all. Does he need something to objectify the kinyan of the katan or the kinyan of the kone? And the fact that there's a makne who's losing in the process, that's the difference between, let's say, being kone something from Nitzay Ager and being kone something where there's a makne, is kind of, not that the makne, you know, does most of the kinyan, and therefore the onus doesn't have to be on the kone like it does in Nitzay Ager or Hefker, but the other way is, to explain that where there's a makne, so then whatever the kone does is kind of objectified. It isn't just, you know, in his mind, because someone else is feeling the consequences of this. Anyways, again, I don't want to get deeply into, you know, Hilchok Mekachomemger. I just want to show, basically, that there are good objective reasons to think that the kone, you know, requires more, or that the makne requires more, or that they're equal, right? In the sugya of Talui V'Zavin, the Itur says the kone requires more. The Rajba says the makne requires more. That's his kol shekein. The Rambam is treating them equally. That doesn't mean he thinks they're equal. He thinks they're equal regarding this issue. Right? It's also very, very possible to say two more complicated things. Sorry. One is that it's not true that either the kone or the makne is more or less. They're just different, and they're different in different... Even in all transactions... In other words, is that everything we described is true. You know, things having to do with, you know, nikitat yuzma, you know, taking initiative, make it more difficult to justify the kone. Things that have to do with, you know, giving up, you know, relinquishing your object, you know, make it more difficult for the makne. It's not one or the other across the board. It depends what we're talking about. Or it's also possible that this relationship between kone and makne, you know, is different in different types of transactions. Depends what we're trying to accomplish in a transaction. Maybe in a doma requiring a chefta, when I say chefta here, I mean something, you know, that doesn't have a mind of its own. In other words, an object, literally. Or developing a relationship with someone, whether it's a shutfus or an ishus relationship. We're not talking about, you know, acquiring a chefta, you're talking about two gavras and the parameters of their interaction. Anyways, to make it shorter, this is the debate about Tluy V'Zavin, Tluy V'Kani, etc. So, going back to the original point, the Rajba said that Kiddushin can't be less than a regular Kinyan, right? Logara mikinyan. So he says, oh, the whole havamina of the Gemara in Kiddushin was Taliyah v'zavin, or Taliyah v', v'tiskadshi. Now, if that's true, so what's fascinating then is not so much, let's take for the Rajba for a moment, what's fascinating is not so much the havamina, but what then becomes important is the maskana. That's the way the Rajba is reading the Gemara. He asked a question. Right, Kiddushin's less than a regular Kenyan? The answer is certainly, that's the assumption of the question, certainly not. The answer agrees, certainly not. Right? The Havamina was basically that Kiddushin should be plugged into the regular criteria of all Kenyanim. And now the question is, what about the Maskana? Does we potentially have something even more exciting based on the Rajma's reading of the Gemara in Kiddushin? The Gemara didn't mean Bal Karcha, they meant Taliyah v'zavin zvini zvini, right? And in the Maskana, the Gemara says, Isha Nikne said it doesn't work. The din of Taliyah v'zavin zvini zvini, Kol Torah Kula, and Mekach HaMamker doesn't work in Kiddushin. That's amazing. Or is it? Not it? Amazing or not? I mean, it is amazing, but you could temper it and make it pretty much not. What is the, how did the Rajba end up? I mean, he started off by asking Logara Mishar Kinyanim, and he ended up by saying, right, Logara Mishar Kinyanim, about Adifu Mishar Kinyanim. Did he? Well, he did, but did he? Salo? So the Rajba, unfortunately for us, didn't go all the way with it. I don't really mean that. I mean, obviously the Rajba's judgment was, the Rajba's question, obviously, meaning that, Kiddushin should be treated, as a typical Kenyan, motivated, both his, understanding of the Havamina and also his explanation of the Maskana. So he basically neutralizes, at least here, any significant difference between the requirement of Das in Kiddushin and the requirement of Das in Kinyan. Aye, but how do you do that when the Gemara is saying that Taliyah v'zavin zvini zvini doesn't work? The answer is, you quote the Gemara of Rabashi in Bava Basra, who says, Afkin Rabbanu l'kiddushin. Right? That's really what happens. Meaning, Lemaisa, Kiddushin is a higher standard, and there is a discrepancy. Right? But we already know that Gemara Bava Basra. If it's Drabanan, halacha, it's still very important, but it's not conceptually important anymore. Because conceptually it's identical. But I'm just saying, and this is just a harara, that in theory, the Gemara here doesn't say that the Gemara in Kiddushin doesn't say that the reason that, Ha'isha Niknes, is to be Mamait from Adin Drabanan. What I'm saying is you could have read the Havamina like the Rajba, right? And in the Maskana you might have said, Taluy v'zavin. That's why I introduced it before. I said, is it conceivable that you would be mechalik between different tkumim of halacha, whether agav onse gomer makne is enough? Logically. Yeah. I mean, if you need a higher level of commitment, right, then maybe you have to be, I don't know if you have to be enthusiastic, midas, but maybe he's come to the conclusion, given the alternatives, that this is, the best he can do. He's come to grips with it, or he's come to terms with it, das. Maybe that's not enough for Kiddushin. Just as, again, Mashal Ma'ad Dovredoma, which makes it much less radical, if it's true, as the Achronim understand, that the omission of Rotsani in the Rambam, right, outside of Korban, Rav Chaim, for example, thought, this is Mipi HaShmua, as far as I know, meaning I don't think it appears even in the stencils, but the Rav just say it in his name, that the fact that the Rambam only quotes Rotsani in Gittin and in Karban is significant. And it proves that he holds that Karban and, now here, Chaim, the way the Rav quoted it, assumed that was true for Gittin is also true for Kiddushin. I don't assume that, I'll explain a little bit. But for the moment, the point is that as opposed to Dini Mamadis, where you don't need Rotsani, and in Ishus you do. Okay. Is it such a far cry once it... Why? because the level of das required in Ishus is greater than the level of das required in Kinyanin. Okay, he didn't say this, but it would have been matim to other things that he says. And is there a difference between Kinyan Sudar and other Kinyanim? I don't have any evidence of it at all. I'm saying if you put together two different things, Reb Chaim's view based on Rishonim, that Kinyan Sudar requires a higher level of Das, and the notion that there are different levels when it comes to Agabon Segamer Makni, I might say, Kinyan Sudar requires road sign. I don't have any evidence, no one that I know says it. It doesn't bother me if no one says it. I'm just trying to explain what I generally. In other words, the higher the level of commitment, the more you might say that you need a more enthusiastic or a more or less ambivalent, let's say, more unequivocal, haskam. So you might say, Rajma's question, how could Kiddusha be less? That's very powerful. But does the Gemara end up saying you need more than the conventional level of Das and Kiddusha? Why not? Right? Okay. The Rajma himself doesn't say it, but it's sayable. The Meiri goes in the other direction. If you do have the Girsa, right, of the Shaka Matari of the Gemara there, the Hava Mina Balkar Chak and the answer, Balkar Midaita in Shalom Midaita Lo, right? So, what are we really saying? So, what were we saying in Hava? So, Meiri says, the Havamina was that Kiddushin requires less than a regular Kenyan. And it's Garua. The Maskana is that it's equal. Now how could it be that even as a Havamina that you would think Kiddushin requires less? That's exactly the point that the Rajba's making. I'll get back to that in a second. The Rimilonil in Kiddushin has another interesting line. He says, again, like the Rajba, he's searching for a way to make sense of the Havamina, particularly. We thought you could really impose your will on someone, right? It's a tzirif problem, it's a Kenyan problem. So Yumi Lanil says, no. What we're talking about is a very specific circumstance where you have an ambivalent kind of a das, or you have a problematic, a questionable kind of das. But here it's not because of Agavon Se Gomer Makni. It has to do with the timing, and the development of it. And it's exactly similar to the Gemaras in the second parak of Kiddushin, the idea of the Achar Kach Nisratza. Let's say you propose something, and you don't get an immediate response, right? But you don't get an objection, and then later on, right? Separate from, the moment of the question, it's Achar Kach Nisratza. So the Rimonel says that's what we're talking about here, but that's a very difficult thing to pin down. Generally, is that normally considered no brainer? That's das, or usually, that's not considered to be das. Very hard to know. Very hard to know. Either way, it was brought to my attention recently that the Tashbits, that the Gilyon Eshas mentions in the name of the Tashbits, that really, maybe there really was a Havamina that Isha's nickname is Balkarcha, because instead of looking at the Isha as a Makne, we should look at the Isha as the Cheftza, which is nickname. Now, the fact is that it is true that the Isha is both the Makna and the Niknes, but normally, the way we understand that is, not so much that she's Niknes, but as I always like to explain, a Kinyan is really not about acquiring a Cheftza. Kinyan is really about developing a legal relationship, between two parties. It so happens that in the world, most legal relationships are expressed in terms of acquisition. But Torah uses the expression kinyan or kone even out of the context of acquisitions. Right? So Rabbanu Shalom is kone shamayim va'aretz. Right? That means Ose Shemayim Va'aretz. There's also, as we know, Aroi Ashbach, the famous Reb Chaim has a piece of Hoshkenim, where he talks about if a person is Yerushalmi, that if a person is Zoreya, Asada Shal Hafker. So if he's Zoreya Asada Shal Hafker, he's Chayv Trumas Maestros. Right, that's Reb Chaim's famous piece on Aroi Ashbach. Aroi Ashbach means, you know, it's my field that produced this this stuff, and therefore it's mine. I mean, the idea that Maisei Yadayim, that if a person creates something, a creator, right, is an owner. So the Torah sometimes uses, you know, creator for owner, and sometimes the Torah uses the expression owner for creator, Konei Shemayim Ba'aretz. Anyways, the point is that Kinyanim, I don't have to crudely be about acquisitions, like owning something. They're more likely about developing a legal connection with something, having, you know, a legal relationship. The only thing is that when you buy an object, you also have a legal relationship with it. We associate kinyanim with acquisitions. Really, we should have a bigger and more accurate understanding what kinyanim are, and understand that acquisitions just happen to be the lion's share, you know, in a very extreme way, of kinyanim, but that isn't what defines kinyanim. Either way, the question of to what extent the isha is not just the makne, but also the nikna, is an interesting question. We've shown them have different views on that in the first paragraph of Kedushin. We're not going to go into more of that right now. Either way, what emerges is that there are three perspectives in understanding the Havamina and the Maskana of the Gemara in Kedushin. Let me just mention one other in connection to Taliyah V'Zadah. We mentioned Bala Itur. Right, so the Bala Itur's view is that in general, when it comes to Taluy V'Kani, Ein Kinyano Kinyan. Right, because he's assuming that Das Kone is something that you can't force, even though you could force Das Makne, and the Rajma went in the other direction. So we noted that the Rambam in Hosisha certainly disagrees. So the Avnei Miluim has an interesting discussion. I hope you all got a chance to see it, in Simin Mem Beis, where he deals with the question whether or not the Shulchan Aruch in Chol Shem Mishpat and the Shulchan Aruch in Avnei Ezer, right, are consistent in their treatment of this issue of the Bala Itur. Right? In other words, that maybe when it comes to Chol Shem Mishpat, we hold like the Bala Itur, and when it comes to Avnei Ezer, we hold like the Rambam. So in a way, that is the parallel opposite of what I was suggesting, you know, to read the Havamina of the Gemara like the Rajba, and to read the Maskana not as a Din Darabanan, but as a Din Daraisa. That's what I was suggesting. You know, in other words, that Kiddushin requires a higher level of Das. What the Avnei Miluim is suggesting in Mem Beis Aleph is the parallel of that, but it's opposite. In other words, that when it comes to Chol Shem Mishpat, regular Kinyanim, the Din is that Taluya Vakani Eino Kinyan, but when it comes to Kiddushin, Taluy Vakani is considered to be a Kinyan. In other words, you have a reduced requirement in Ishas. So basically what emerges, even from the things that we've seen so far, is whether it's the Miri, the Rili Milonil, etc., is that there are three perspectives. Either we're treating Ishas the way we're treating regular Kinyanim, or we're treating Ishus in a manner that is inferior or less demanding than other Kinyanim, maybe because of this Kefs idea. There could be another reason for it, and that is the reason I forgot to give my punchline. I was trying to explain how I don't necessarily think that the Tashbits, aside from being, you know, politically not so correct, but that per se is not a reason to, you know, to reject it. But what I was suggesting as an alternative to explaining the Tashbits' conclusion, but in a slightly different way. And that is, not so much that he's a cheftza and not a gavra or a makne, but the opposite. And that is, the, you know, there's a difference between developing a relationship and acquiring an object. So dafka, because you're not acquiring an object, the ishus, but you're just talking about the parameters of the agreed interaction, it could be that the level of Kinyan is, according to some Rishonim, is going to be less. In other words, the opposite explanation for the same thing. But either way, what emerges, whether it's in the Achakach Nisratza, or Taliyah V'Kani, or Taluya the Zavin, or just to have a mina Valkarcha, is that there are three shitos. Either Kiddushin requires less das, or Kiddushin requires more das, or Kiddushin requires equal amount of das. I should also add that we've been, you know, discussing different things without noting that most of the time we've been discussing the das of the Isha, the Makna, right? But of course when we talk about the Bala Itur and the Rambam, we're talking about the das of the Ba. And this question, Gufa, but again, if you ask me in which direction, intuitively I would say the Baal, Kiyikach Ish Isha, he certainly requires equal or more das. The Isha, you know, you would think in terms of her role as the Makna, less so. However, again, you could argue with that as well. What you might say is the real Hischaibus and the real Chalos, you know, she turns into an Ashes Ish. Right, and that has consequences, as we'll discuss, for everybody. That's what I call a transcendent kinyan. So for him to trigger that, he needs bailus, and he needs a high level of das. But for her to agree to it, she needs a huge level of das. Because she's the one who becomes the HSH, and she's the one who has the most acute consequences of that decision. But either way, there's this machlokes. Connected to this also, just a one other makar, and that is the famous Ran in the Darim. Isaac, what's the Ran in the Darim?
He says that the way Kiddush works is that she's Mafkeres Daito, or Mevatel Daito.
Yeah, she's Mafkeres or Mevateles as Daito to the Kinyan of Baal. She doesn't object, and that's enough. So that Ran in the Darim is, again, a formulation which downplays the amount. Again, it's not Baal Korcha, but, you know, she basically has to not disagree. She doesn't really need to be positively endorsing this Ishus. And it should be noted that the Ksos, both in the Ksos and in the Avnei Miluim, really strongly projected this Ran. They quote it whenever they can. Okay? So it became even more famous. It's one of the famous Rans, you know, especially in the Darim. There are a couple. But it became even more famous thanks to the hard work of the Ksos. Okay. So what emerges is basically three shitas, as we've discussed. Now, this machlokas may have impact on another machlokas that I wanted you to look at very briefly. Aaron, what other machlokas? Other makoros? About the level of or about das in Kiddushin, do you need? Did you get a chance to see it? Do you need what? Chaim?
Does she need to understand?
Does she? Do we need to know?
If she understood that he was saying
Excellent. Very good. Piskei Tshuva. Machlokas in Piskei Tshuva in the Avnei Miluim. What's the machlokas about?
About whether the Eidim don't know if she understood about.
Did the Eidim need to know that she had Das at the time of the Kiddushin? Or another way to say that is, do you need Eidei Kiyum, not just on the Maisa Kiddushin, but on her Das for the Kiddushin? Excellent. So the Avnei Miluim is of the opinion that there's no such requirement. I mean, at the end of the day, there has to be das, and there have to be eidei kiyum. But there don't have to be eidei kiyum on the das. And you might say that that would work very nicely, according to the Avnei Miluim, who, A, likes the Ran, right? Meaning, who minimizes her das, in a way, in terms of the degree of endorsement required. And B, in connection with all this, you know, is the one who projects this idea that the Shulchan Aruch thinks that in Choshen Mishpat you require, you know, higher level of das than in Avnei Miluim. Right. Even though that part is not the Isha's das, that's the Baal's das, and you certainly can be mechalek between them. Okay. The Piskei Tshuva disagrees. Piskei Tshuva says you need eidei kiyum on the fact that she has das. So how do we explain that machlokas? Obviously there are two components, right? There's das and there's eidei kiyum. We can explain it from either perspective. In other words, what do you need eidei kiyum for in general? So there is a big machlokas rishonim all over the place, right? So what is the scope of this requirement of any kiyum? We'll discuss that more as we go forward a little bit, right? For example, do you need any kiyum on minui shliach l'halacha or l'kabbala of a get or kiddushin? Let's say you do kiddushin al yidei shliach or gitin al yidei shliach. Right? How do we know that the shliach was properly appointed, that he's a real representative? You only need a kiyum for his maisa kiddushin, but a lesser form of evidence would be accepted, you know, regarding his minui or not. Or let's say, for example, so that's a big machlokas rishonim. Not going to go into details, not for now, just as an example. Per gimel hilchos ishus halacha tesvav, per gvav hilchos gerushin. Right, the Rambam again mentions in Perek Tes Hilchos Gerushin about Shliach HaGet. There are some steers of the Rambam a little bit, but whatever. The Rishonim in the sixth Perek of Gittin, and in the second Perek of Kiddushin discuss this question. And there's a range of views. Right, possible also to chalik between Halacha and Kabbalah, Gittin, Kiddushin, in different directions. Whatever. Another example, just very briefly, just to make the point. And we'll talk about this issue in a couple of weeks, probably. We talk about Tanai more. Let's say you made a Tanai for Kiddushin or a Tanai for Gittin, and then you want to be Mevatel, the Tanai. So I'm only going to marry you under these conditions, or I'm only going to divorce you under these conditions. Do you need a de kiyum on the Bitol a Tanai? That's a machlokas between the Rambam, another machlokas between the Rambam and the Rite. Perek Zion, Hilchasishas. In other words, there's a machlokas about a whole bunch of things, whether they require any kiyum. And possibly, the machlokas revolves around how peripheral those things are or are not. Some of them seem quite peripheral, not necessarily. How peripheral, how much integrated into the actual issues are they? Or the machlokas is about the requirement or the demand of any kiyum. Does anything that will torpedo the ishus requires any kiyum? Anything that's ma'akev requires any kiyum, no matter how peripheral or trivial it really is. It's a side issue. It's not part of the hagdara, let's say, of a maisa kiddushin. Right? You just need to know these things are done properly. You need any kiyum for that? Or no, any kiyum is dafka on the core, the maisa kiddushin, the yetziras chalos of the kiddushin. So without going into all that right now, just saying you have the interesting machlokas between the Pische Tshuva and the Avnei Milui. Right, the Avnei Milui basically says that as long as we know that she has das, you know, it's fine. The any kiyum don't need to know it. And the Pesach Yitzchuba disagrees. So is that because, you know, they all agree that Das plays whatever role it plays, and the question really is whether or not we are more demanding and requiring everything, you know, be certified by the Eidei Kiyum, that it's not our topic right now. Or maybe they all agree that Eidei Kiyum, right, is going to apply only to the core issues of Ishus. The argument is whether Das is just something that is ma'akev, or Das is really a central component, it's literally a linchpin to creating the Ishus. So again, just to sum up for the moment, we have indications that Kiddushin requires less, that Kiddushin requires more, that Kiddushin is equal, right? And with regard to a bunch of shitos and applications. And we also have an interesting machlokas between the Avnei Miluim and the Pische Tshuva, whether you even need any kiyum for das, which can be understood in one or two ways. This question also may affect whether or not you need a special limud for das in Kiddushin. Again, here mostly focusing on her das. So Rashi in Kiddushin, on daf mem dalet, just mentions agav, right? What does he mention, agav? that you require das in Kiddushin, because it's the regular das makta that you require in all kinyanim, right? You don't need a separate limud for that. It's not better, it's not worse. It's like the Rajba's comment about that base of medal, a base of base. Namely, how could there be a havamina that you require less? And in the maskana, there's no reason to think that you require more, right? So the way that the Rashi in Kiddushin on Mem Dalet, the second paragraph of Kiddushin, relates to this problem is, you know, Kiddushin's a kinyan, she's a makna. Well, let's apply the regular dinim. End of story. However, that's to be contrasted with what? Another Rashi. Excellent. Yivam Sutesum base. There, what is Rashi saying? Yeah. So what is, so that implies that it's Exeris HaKasuv, right? Hokav Haisa Bertzona or something like that, right? Now, you need Exeris HaKasuv because there can be three reasons why you need Exeris HaKasuv. We just don't know which they are. You need Exeris HaKasuv because it isn't the typical Das Makne, it's more. The commitment level or creating issues requires more. Or you need Exeris HaKasuv because otherwise you would think that you don't require even the regular Das Makne. Right? And then do you, or maybe you get away with less. It isn't the typical Das Makne, but at least you need something. Or you need Exeris HaKasuv to teach you that, you know, don't think you need more, don't think you need less. You need the regular Das Makne. Hard to know. The Talmidei HaRajba in Kiddushin, you know, have another limud, and they connect this also with the Havamina of the Gemara. That is V'yatza V'hoysa. Say, oh, you might have thought, the reason that the Gemara thought that maybe there's Bal Karcha in Kiddushin is because V'yatza V'hoysa teaches us many dinim, and frankly in both directions, right? From Gittin to Kiddushin, from Kiddushin to Gittin. And Gittin is Bal Karcha. Kamash Milan, right? Kiddushin is different. That's also, again, question is, again, there you might say, well, Gittin, because there's a tzirub, there's a framework, there's a dominant party. And that's not true in Kiddushin. Or, you know, Gittin isn't a kinyan. Well, Mishnah says, Kones Atzma, we're not going to Gittin right now, but Kones Atzma be getu be misa sabal, right? So it's characterized in the Mishnah as Kones Atzma, but as we know, maybe Gittin isn't really a kinyan. Okay? Why do I think that we discussed this even just last year? Yeah, we did. Right, of course. Because we talked about Dalet Amos. Right? What does that do with Dalet Amos? Aminadav? Because we learned the first parak of Shabbos. Which is why we have to learn the first parak of Ksubas. Right? You weren't even here, and you're agreeing.
We really learned the third.
But you learned the first parak of Shabbos too, and you learned it with someone who learned Shabbos with me. So maybe. So what does that do with Dalet Amos?
Dalet Amos going after
Excellent. Very good. Exactly. Meaning the Dalet Amos, according to Gemara in Bava Metzia. See, so could have been here from Bava Metzia too. Dalet Amos is kona in Dinei Mamonis. The Gemara says because otherwise people are going to, you know, beat each other up, right? Minsu adadi. They'll fight over an object that's within the Dalet Amos. So it sounds like Dalet Amos is a din d'rabbanan. Problem is that the Gemara in Gittin seems to say that Dalet Amos is kona beget. That doesn't seem to be a din d'rabbanan, does it? So some Rishonim say it doesn't, but it is. Because of Afkid Rabban al-Kiddusha Mine. Right? There's a whole group of Rishonim that hold that. But some Rishonim, Tosis Rid, probably the Balamars, we'll see in a second, don't hold that way. They say, Shiny Gittin. Why Shiny Gittin, Jonathan?
Or maybe we'll take it for some
It's a what?
Rav Moshe would say it's a personal message and not a formal document.
Personal message. I don't know about that, but let's just get go. What's the basis? What's the makar? How do you express Gittin? In Torah. So it's Vinasim Biyada, right? So the Arishonim already, and certainly Achronim have picked up on it after. It could be maybe that's the reason why that's so. Is that Vinasim is Vinasim Biyada Kenya. Right? Maybe it's even in the Sina. So that's, you know, again, the Ksos has the Rabbi's playing with his hands. Right? Gito v'yado boim ki'echad. Right? Get is balkarcha, get is bisuria. No, those are the three things that the Ksos, right, notes in Simon Reish. You know, normally Kenyan shouldn't be balkarcha. Normally, a kinyan shouldn't be allowed on a chafta shel isuria. No, these are all issues. I see there were some psachim people here. We were in psachim last year. We know that's a big, big issue, right? Whether there's really zechiyah b'isuria no. And normally, you shouldn't say gita v'yada b'ayin kiyachad because it's like a catch 22. Says the Ksos, and it has roots in the Rishonim, including the Tosis for that Jason mentioned. Gittin is not kinyan. Gittin is nesina b'yada. It's a matir. Right? Vinasim biyada. So that's what the Baal HaMor says. That's why I said it's connected to Shabbos. Baal HaMor says what? What does Baal HaMor say? Tamar? About Dalet Amos? Yeah. Baal HaMor says that Dalet Amos is also Hotzah. Right? Because every Dalet Amos is like a separate Rishos. And then he adds, right? And that's why, you know, it works in Gittin. That's why it works in Gittin. I thought it works in Gittin because they made a dindra banan that people shouldn't beat each other up, and then they said afkinar banan the kiddusha mina. So obviously the Baal HaMor interpreted like this Tosfos Rid that Gittin has to do with v'nasim biyada, putting it in your rishos, putting it in rishos ha'isha. Anyways, why am I telling you all this? The Mishnah says v'kones atzma v'ged of misa sabal, right? Misa sabal is a kinyan. Maybe it is. Hafgasa Kenyan, right? He was Konaher, and now he's no longer here, sadly. Right? So his Kenyan is Pakash, he's Konas Atzma. Or Misa Sabal is a Matir. And then what we mean by Konas, we don't literally mean Konas Atzma, we mean Matir. And again, is a Matir, Vinasim Biyada. It's in the Sina. That could mean it's a personal message, too. Either way, it's a Matir. Every get, I will say this, the concept of Lishma in a get, in my opinion, different than Lishma in other areas, is about the personal nature of every get. There's no such thing as a get writing factory. That's what Lishma really means in get. Because every gittin is personal. Right? Even before Tolstoy, they understood that. But the point is, so gittin is balkarcha. Gittin is balkarcha, and therefore kiddushin is balkarcha. Yeah, because the kones atzma. Right, but maybe v'kones atzma is more of a matir. The result is that she's kones atzma. But when we say the word v'kones atzma, do we mean that that's the, you know, it's a kinyan, and therefore it results in a matir, or do we mean that it's a matir, but the result is that she is now free from, you know, his control? Right. So you might say. Again, number one, I think there are three things to say about Gittin being Baal Karcha, right? Or four things to say. Right. One is, there's Tziruf, as we discussed. And we talked about Yibam and Nesuin, and you know, the Levush's Get Me'ava, right? Number two, maybe it really isn't primarily, it doesn't start as a Kenyan, it just has a result of a Kenyan, it's really a Matir, right? Number three, maybe there's a difference between unraveling something and creating it in terms of Baal Karcha and so on, or maybe the need for an actual kinyan. Right? As I said before about I said in a different context before, we're talking about Kone and Makne, right? There are reasons to think that you require more in Kiddushin, there are reasons to think that you require in Gittin you're being Matar and Ishul Lashuk. In Kiddushin you're creating a Chalos. Those are two very formidable, transformative things. But they're just very different. Right? In one you're being Oser, and one you're being Matir. But you're being Matir, right? So, basically, Nisar Eshashish, which is a very powerful thing. So these are all different perspectives about why maybe Get is Baal Karcha. Another, the fourth thing, I said I would mention a fourth thing. The fourth thing is that Get is Baal Karcha because because the Das L'Garish is basically, you know, what triggers the Get. I don't want to go into that right now, but okay, what I mean by that is once he determines, right, that you know, he is not going to, or that there's not going to be the proper level of Kedusha in this Ishus, then the Heter Isha Labala and everything that goes along with it, if there's real Das L'Garish, it's the Das L'Garish which is Matir. It's not a reciprocal, but it's a unilateral, you know, kind of a transaction, and that's reflected always. If you take a look at the Rishonim, when they try to explain various things about Gittin that are unique, they'll often say, well, Gittin's Baal Karcha. And I think what they're trying to prove is related to its being Baal Karcha. And often, in other situations, what they're trying to say is it's unilateral, and in my opinion, sometimes they're trying to say it's about the Das L'Garish. Anyways, there are many reasons to be Mechalik between, you know, V'yotza and V'hoysa. So if the Talmid HaRashba tell you that the reason that the Gemara thought that Kedusha was Baal Karcha is because of Get, right? I just gave you four good reasons to be Mechalik. Maybe there are more. L'maskana, we are Mechalik. But what was the Havamina? So what you might say, at least on some of them, is that Kiddushin isn't a typical Kenyan. Kiddushin is also about, you know, Das Ha'ish. It's a chalos, it's just a different category, like Gittin is. These aren't typical Kenyanim. Okay. Either way, in the end of the day, Itamar, you had a question?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds from that hash base that you mentioned,
mm-hmm,
that the only reason why you need her Das is because of, you know, the Moser Dabar Shem Shalom.
Yeah.
And
so, which means that even the Maskana, they're basically saying we treat her like Chetz, in a way. Or that,
no,
you should need less than regular Das.
From the perspective of the Kenyanim, you wouldn't need her Das at all.
Right.
That's only because of the Moser Dabar Shem Shalom.
That's what I just said.
And then that would explain that furnace too, and where there is no more, you know, both sort of shin show up.
Exactly.
The answer is falling in place, and you wouldn't have to show up that.
Right. Very good. And what I'm trying to explain in just a second is maybe some of the Gittin aspects that distinguish between Gittin and Kedushin, some of them, you know, or the, you know, the non-Kinyan parts that apply to the Nisuin as opposed to the Kedushin as well. Just getting back to that in just a second. So whether or not it's, you know, B'holcha B'hoysa L'ish Acher, or it's a Exeris HaKasuv I think I didn't mention yet the pasuk in connection with Rivka. What's that pasuk? Yeah, so that it should be noted also is about Nisuin, or at least the language is about. Rashi says there, "Mikan she'en adam nose isha shalom idaita," unless the nose there is lavdafka, right? But again, the truth is that what Eliezer was trying to do with Rivka was what? Kiddushin or Nisuin? Definitely Kiddushin. Was also what? Masar Av L'Shluchei Abal. That's a little bit of a tricky issue. But our time's almost up. So let me just get back to the main point, which is what emerges is that there's a huge discussion in understanding the Gemara and Kiddushin dot base on base, as well as in some other contexts, right? About the relative requirements of kiddush, of das and kiddushin, right, as opposed to kinyan. And as we've seen, both in havaminas and in maskanas, or in the need for exeris hakasuvs, or in the equation to things like, you know, gittin and so on, right? Again, what emerges is either Kiddushin is just typical of Kinyanim, or the requirements are greater, which we certainly understand because it's Tzitzirat Tzachalos and so on, or they are lesser. In light of all this, when we come back to the question of Nisuin, Hava Min of Tosis that maybe Kedushin, no. But Nisuin, yes. Right, so this becomes a very important question. And if there never really was such a Hava Mina, or the Hava Mina, you know, was, you know, is diluted according to some of the ways that we've seen, or it's about the Dindra Banan, like, you know, Rav Ashi, the Rajba, etc. So, no. If it's all just about Tziruf, that's important. But it's not important for the issue that we're interested in right now, which is the quality. What is it that, how do we understand the contribution of Nisuin to Ishus? Is it a Kenyan? Is it an independent Kenyan? Is it just a Matir? Or is it a Matir and something very different? But certainly, if the point is that Kiddushin has a higher level of Das, or requires a higher level, that's what the Gemara is saying, and Nisuin does not, right? Or, like Yitamar was saying for the Tashbits, right? Kiddushin really could get away with a lower level, but for technical reasons, or for other, for certain reasons, it can't. Right? But, you know, Nisuin could. So then what really emerges is, in some cases at least, that Kiddushin and Nisuin, depending on which view we're talking about, Kiddushin and Nisuin are either, you know, bad to bad, they go hand in hand in terms of their requirements. And even where there's a discrepancy, the discrepancy in a way reinforces the idea that mostly they're the same, because Nisuin, right, ends up being the Havamina of Kiddushin, right, and the Maskon of Kiddushin is not the is not what emerges that's conceptually important. Or, more likely, especially if you take the view that Kiddusha requires a higher level because it's here, it's halos, etc. So then what we're saying is that Nisuin, right, either is not a Kenyan Ragil, or that Nisuin is a Kenyan, but it's not the kind of Kenyan that is in the category of Yitzhiras Achalos. That's limited to Kiddushin. Kiddushin creates Eishasish. Nisuin is either just a matir, or even if Nisuin is a Kenyan, but it's a more pedestrian or routine kind of a Kenyan, and it's not the Kenyan of Erison. As opposed to, again, or what we said before, which is, again, that you know, once you have Kiddushin, so not only do you have Tziruf, which changes the equation, you also have just the continuation of it, which doesn't require necessarily invoking the higher level. So one of the things actually to check, and this is the next thing I want to do, and I want to finish up these Marmakomos on Sunday, is the question of Edekiyu. Just as there was a debate between the Piskei Tshuva and the Avnei Miluim regarding the role of Das in Kiddushin, right? And possibly we argued that the Avnei Miluim certainly could be Lishitaso. He thinks, the Isha's Das is just, you know, she shouldn't object. He likes to invoke the Ran. You know, he's happy with this interpretation of the Bala Itur, even on the man level. So of course, he's more amenable to the idea, unless he's going to be an extremist when it comes to Edekiyum. Anything that Lemaisa is necessary requires Edekiyum. He's going to say, of course there's no din of Edekiyum in the Das is a peripheral, necessary, but peripheral thing. It's not part of the Yitziras Ha'ishas. Ve'ilu, the other Shita, which says that the Das is crucial, you know, that establishes the Das in a very different role. So similarly, we should ask the question, is there a requirement of Edekiyum for Nisuin itself? Again, she's already an Eishes Ish. Is the contribution of Nisuin the kind of contribution which requires Edekiyum? Okay, so that's what I want to pick up with, having discussed you know, the Hava Mina and the different views about Das and Kiddushin, and now applying them both in Hava Mina Maskana regarding Nisuin, including the question of Kanishin Skatcha Shola Dasavia, Kanishin Nisus Shola Dasavia, and the Rabbeinu Ephraim and Rabbeinu Tam. What about the status of Edekiyum? So I want to speak about Edekiyum, I want to speak about Hara'ah, I want to speak about Tanai and Shlicha, all the other things on the original Mar Makomos, trying to get through with on Sunday.
Okay.